have an halacha to allow him to make the bracha himself.
No, because so base ER, Tuesday the 7th of May, Rabbi Shalom Segel, alternative medicine.
It's in Pasuk, Nishmartem Eidu Nafshei Seichem, that a person has a chiyuv, has a mitzvah, and an obligation to look after oneself. And the Pesukim say that today, that includes listening to what medical practitioners, what doctors advise one to do it, that's all incorporated in Nishmartem Eidu Nafshei Seichem, that a person has to listen to the doctor's advice. In the last however many years, there's been growing interest and popularity in what's known as alternative medicine. It comes under different names. It incorporates all sorts of things such as acupuncture, kinesiology. We've got a whole list you can go through, homeopathy, etc., etc. And there have been different opinions on this. But before we go any further, to make one thing absolutely clear, no matter what opinion we take with regard to alternative medicine, whether you believe it's quackery, whether you believe there is anything in it, whether you believe it's idolatry, or there's nothing in it. But if a person is going to go down that road, one thing is clear from all Pesukim is that it cannot be at the expense of what we call conventional medicine. That's clear in the Pesukim say. Conventional medicine is, by its very definition, is conventional. It's the mainstream school, it's at least as we have it now, and therefore, if there is no clash, our shaila is only going to be if there's no clash, and it could maybe just support it, or at least does not interfere in any way, is it permissible to go down the road of alternative medicine? You see, Rav Belsky, there was a sefer which came out a couple of years ago, presenting Rav Belsky's view. He spent quite a bit of time researching it and trying to understand what exactly is going on in the different forms of alternative medicine, and his conclusion was very clear: the whole thing is just one big, facade. It's absolutely false. There's nothing in it. Right? It's just a hoax. That was his conclusion, and he cites many stories, and he says that's at best. At worst, it's avodah zarah, and worst. And the reason why I just add that is because somebody told me that they showed it to somebody who's a Talmud Chacham, but also has a big backing in big understanding in the medical world. And he said he felt this book was over the top. He says he knows, he's seen it firsthand. He's seen what they call these witch doctors. He's seen, you can't tell me it's a hoax, the whole thing is there's nothing in it. So I said to the person, with the greatest due respect, he's misunderstood the point of the book then. The point of this of Rabelsky's shitta is that yes, most of it is a hoax. Where it works, where there is anything in it, of course it's witch doctors. That's using Kirkus Atum. It doesn't make you any the better. It's still, then it's absolutely forbidden because of Avodah Zarah, Kishuv, and all sorts of other things. For example, the Pesukim, there's a case brought in one of the Teshuvahs about a certain priest in the Philippines who used to, people saw it with their own eyes. He would practice surgery without any tools whatsoever. He simply did it with his hands. And the answer was, it was using Kirkus Atumah. There's no doubt about it. It's absolutely forbidden to go down that road. It's Kirkus Atumah. They said he opened up the person with his own. And afterwards, when he closed up the person, simply just passing his hands over them, probably saying all sorts of shameless tumah. He says afterwards there was no sign, there was absolutely no wound whatsoever. And again, they've got the statistics to show it, right? Again, it's Kirkus Atumah. It doesn't make it mutter. It doesn't make it any more impressive for us. What Rabelsky is saying is that the majority of it, in his opinion, there's nothing in it. And where there is, it's even worse, because it's going to come under Kishuf and all sorts of other things. That doesn't help us. However, there is an opposing school. Again, a year or two back, I think the two Sforim must have been, one was sort of brought in response to the other, was something called Rav Rafael Shmerla, who is a Pesik in Lakewood. He brought out a sefer after some 20 years, I think, plus, of really being very, very involved in it. He thought it would be a six-month project, and it ended up a good 20 years. He got very, very involved firsthand, sure to understand it, and he maintains there's a lot of misunderstanding. Very possibly, Rabelsky was given wrong information and things like that. And what I'm going to try and do this morning is just to present the two sides a little bit. I'm not coming to say one side is correct, one side is incorrect. And although at the beginning, obviously, it will be necessary to give over the understanding behind it, the logic which they propose, I'm not saying that therefore it is correct. Some people will think the whole thing is just a joke. Some people will swear by it. We're simply just trying to understand the two sides. Why I got involved in this at all is not because I've got anything to do with alternative medicine. It was a number of years ago, this is before this whole thing, somebody who is, I think, both a practitioner and teaches reflexology asked me, is there any source, clearer source, palmitical source, is there anything for this? So it didn't take very long to look, and I found what they say is a Mishnah in Ordos. They say maybe there is some sort of connection to a basis based on a Mishnah in Ordos. But at the same time, I ended up researching various other ones, such as, we're not going to discuss these today, but iridology or acutotherapy, a little bit of acupuncture and things like that. Do those have connection to Torah sources? And I came up with, I don't know if there's anything in it, but if there is a theory behind it, and when this the Sefer of Rav Shmuel came out, I found that, based on what he's saying there, but very much backed by Rav Elia Weintraub, who was, as they say, a Makubal, Dika Makubal, right? He was very Talmud Chacham and had a great understanding in these things. It's very, very much along the lines as he proposes. So as I said, I can't tell you there is anything in it, but if there is, this would seem to be the logic. It starts off with a Gemara in... There's a Gemara in Horiyas Daf Yud Beis that says that when people would go out on a journey, if they wanted to know if they're going to come back safe and sound, there was a way to do that, and that is to go into some sort of darkened room and see if they can see there what's called bevua de bevua, which is normally loosely translated as a shadow of a shadow. And if they see their bevua de bevua, it's an indication that they will come back safe and sound. And if not, well, then not. But the Gemara says it's not a good idea to try it, because, as they say, don't try this one at home, because if you don't see it, a person's going to get all nervous, and that damages the muscle of a person, and therefore that could, in itself, be the cause for the negative outcome. But that's the Gemara. But the Maisa is brought, the Avod Ram brings it as a practice. People used to do it. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch as well, this Avod Ram, that on Hoshana Rabbah night, people who wanted to know what is going to be their outcome, they would go out under the moonlight, wrapped in a white sheet, and then they would literally undress that and check, stretch out their fingers, stretch out their various limbs, and see if they could see this bevua de bevua. And just quoting the Avod Ram there, it says, if their head was missing, you understand what that means. But once again, he says, don't try it. It's just not worth it. But it's, as I said, it is brought in Shulchan Aruch, this Avod Ram. So what is this bevua de bevua? So, just very, very simply, they bring from Reb Chaim Vital, again, whether the Rishonim learn of this is something else, but he says, as I said, just putting it simply put, it is the go-between, it's some sort of more sublime, esoteric go-between, between the physical body and the neshama, the nefesh, it's that thing which goes between the two. It's the connection between the nefesh and the body. That's simply put, that's how they explain it based on Reb Chaim Vital. So now, the question is, that's our side of the story. What is their side of the story? What I mean to say is, when we go to the Chochmas HaMizrach, when we go to that side of the world, India, etc., what do they believe? So first of all, just a little bit, where do they come from? So they say that it goes back some 4,000 or 5,000 years, that some person came and taught them this great Chochma some 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. So Rav Zamir Cohen, who's the head of Hidabrut, so he says that, again, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but he says what is interesting is if we look in terms of what we've got in the Torah, do we find any possible backing to their claim? He says what is interesting, if you look at the Dara Flogger, which was some 4,000 years ago, it says, Uchanan Yolad, Kanan gave birth, dot, 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 and it says, Ve'ez HaSini, which today we associate Sinis with China, which obviously is a major place of all this alternative medicine in terms of the sources. And in fact, we've got a posse by Shlomo HaMelech that says, Vatirev Chochmas Shlomo, that the Chochma of Shlomo HaMelech was far greater than Chochmas Kol B'nei Kedem, which again, you could translate, than the Chochma of all the people of the East. So maybe there is something in it. And in fact, he says today in India, in the sort of the upper echelons, the people who cut them off themselves, they believe they're above the rest of society, they call themselves the, something, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but something like the Brahmanim. right? Which is, it's Avraham minus an Aleph. Right? So they say there is, possibly there is some sort of connection there. Where would they have got it from? So he says, maybe, we know that Rashi then, the Parshas Chayisara, says that Avraham, which as we said is where they claim they got it from, that when he sent away, says the B'nai Keturah, etc., he gave them matonis. What were these matonis? So Rashi says it was Shemus of Tumah. Says Rav Zameir Cohen, he says there's no way Avraham Avinu would have actually taught them Avodah Zarah. That's for sure. He says rather what it seems to mean is he gave them certain koiches that you have a choice. You could access them through a tzad of Kedusha, or you could access them through a tzad of Tumah. They have chosen to go down the path of Tumah. That's what Avraham Avinu gave them. Whereas what he gave to Yitzchak were koiches which can only be accessed through Kedusha. That's the possible connection to in terms of their claims. Now, what do they then claim? So what were they taught some 4,000 or 5,000 years ago? So they say there's something called, they call it the Chai, universal energy, they've got all sorts of names for it. But basically they believe that there is some sort of energy which envelops the whole world and it permeates every human being, everything which has been created. And that is, as it were, to borrow the words, it's sort of the life source, it's the source of life. So Rav Weintraub, he said, okay, you can put it in their words, let's put it in our words. He says, there's nothing wrong with that. We, just like we know that our Kodesh Baruch Hu created certain koches in the world, which as it happens, we don't yet, the scientists have yet to understand exactly how it works, but we know it's there. Magnetism. Sure. They don't understand magnetism, how it works, but we know it's there. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu created magnetism. The power, the ability for electricity. Again, that's a curve that our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we believe our Kodesh Baruch Hu put in the world. So he says, this, call it what you wish, right? Call it universal energy, call it what you want, but we may well believe that if it does exist, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it there. And that's the what we referred to before, call it the Bavuah Devuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, which is through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives life. That's essentially, is their claim, versus do we find any possible backing to it in terms of our sources? Says Rav Weintraub, it could well be. Maybe yes, maybe not, but it's not impossible. So the next question we have to ask is, okay, this is what they claim. Is there any, can we actually bring any sort of backing to it? I mean, anyone can claim anything. So in 1888, there were people who claimed that they could see some sort of aura, which surrounds the bus, you know, surrounds people, etc. They weren't taken too seriously because no one, you could say whatever you want, no one could, you couldn't prove them one way or the other. Until 1950, when somebody came out, again, without getting too technical, but basically, he created some sort of camera which could actually capture this aura surrounding people. In fact, today, apparently, there's something called an aura video station. You can actually go there, and you can have your aura, you can see what your aura looks like. And they claim, they say, with this aura, people in the know, they can actually, Rahman al-Islam, they can detect illness before symptoms even appear. And at that point, once they had this, they decided, well, let's see, all these people who claim that they can see and do all sorts of things with this aura, let's see if there's anything in it. So they took 200 of them, and they said, right, describe the aura that you're seeing surrounding this person. And then they took a picture using this camera. And what came out is, of the 200, they found 86% of them to be accurate. Right, 86%. Now they say, well, of the other 14%, I mean, you know, it could well be some of them are charlatans. That is possible. But number two is, some colours are going to be subject to what you may call an orange, I may call a brown. It could be on the border. On the other hand, of the 86%, some of them could have been a wild guess. But to say that all 86% there's nothing in it, is, you know, that you'd have to be very, very cynical, they say, to believe that. They also, they discovered all sorts of other things. I don't know if anyone's heard of the phantom limb, the idea of phantom limb. People who are Rahman al-Islam have lost a limb. Again, either you know about it. They discovered as well, there's something called the phantom leaf, which is also, it's the same idea. If you cut the top third off a leaf, they found that the aura was not affected in any way. This is what they say they discovered. Somebody called Stephen Schramm, this is quite a well-known, it's documented in quite a few different places. Stephen Schramm is a world expert in acupuncture. And what he discovered was, and acupuncture is, by the way, is one of the ones which, even the ones who are against most of this thing, acupuncture, they say there is more evidence of it there actually being something in it. And what this Stephen Schramm discovered is that when they use acupuncture for improving the thought process of the mind, the points that they actually do it on are the same points where the tefillin, both the tefil shel Rosh and the tefil shel Yad, go. But not only that, the order in which they do it is like we put on the tefillin. In other words, it's first the shel Yad, then they go to places on the shel Rosh, and then back to the shel Yad. This is something which he discovered. So Rav Samir Cohen, he says he was once lecturing in Be'er Sheva to obviously a secular group on this whole thing of this aura, etc., etc. And there was somebody there called Dr. Arik Nader. He's apparently an expert in physics. He decided he wasn't just going to take anyone's word for it. They went and he took it back to wherever he works. And he took 11 people who were completely secular. And he took a picture, one by one, took a picture of their aura. They then put on tefillin. And he took a picture of their aura now with the tefillin. And he says every single one of those 11, every single one, there was a shift in the aura. They have different colours. Obviously, the things like the blue and the purple, obviously white is the ultimate, represents more spiritual. And they said every single one, there was a shift, some more than others. They tried it with women as well, without their hair covered, then with their hair covered, and then they expanded it more than 11. He was quite amazed to find that there was always a change in this aura. That is their theory behind it. As I said, I call it their theory because some people are going to say they don't believe any of this. But that is the logic. The reason why we have to just present all of that is just to understand what the possible logic is in it. Because if there's no logic, then we're going to see when we come to the halacha, it's going to be a little bit more problematic. The last thing is, though, is let's say there is something in it. Let's say there is. So they can detect this aura. But can they actually do anything to that aura? In other words, you're going to tell me, well, of course, I'll prove it to you. Why? Because we've had people who come with a certain illness. We've got these practitioners which have treated it, and the person got better. So what are the cynics going to say? They're going to say, placebo. Right? Now, placebo is something which is very, very difficult to disprove, because maybe it's placebo, maybe it's not. They'll turn around and say, well, in conventional medicine as well, a lot of it could be placebo. The Rambam, after all, does write that 70% of success in conventional medicine, right, is based on the trust the patient has in what the doctor tells them. Right? Other people will turn around and say, you know what, who cares whether it's placebo or not? I want to know, is it mutter or is it osse? If I believe in it, and therefore because of that it's going to work through placebo, what difference? Right? The danger is, because some people say it's not very fair, because you're telling people it's going to work, they invest a lot of money in it, and if there's nothing in it, they're throwing obviously important resources down the drain. But again, we're not looking at that today, we're looking at the halacha. So if there is anything in it, it's if it's placebo. If it's not, they say somebody in 1960, he did an experiment on mice, and he says that it did, obviously on mice it's hard to believe that would be placebo, right? And he says there were positive results. Again, some people question it, so maybe it is, maybe it's not. The question we now turn to is, that's their logic. And I say their logic, you can believe it or you cannot believe it. What we want to know now is, I want to know halakhically, is there a problem of Avodah Zorah? Is there Kishuv? This week, Sedra, Lo Se'oneinu, Lo Se'nachashu, Lo Se'oneinu. Is there Nichosh in it? Is there or is there not? So the problem came about like this. The Rabelsky says, when you go to these practitioners, a lot of them talk about, they call it the mother power, this energy they're talking about, they call it mother power, they give it all sorts of names. They also ask for energy permission, right? I mean, anyone who goes to, in Gateshead as well, obviously a well-known one is Dr. Cope, right? They've got this thing of what they call energy permission, right? So Rabelsky says, that doesn't sound very good, does it? It sounds like you're talking to this mother power, it doesn't sound very good. So Rav Shmuel says it's a big misunderstanding. He says, again, he's not saying none of them. He says some of them do believe that there is something in it, it's got some sort of a kayach. He says, if you know that these people believe that, then you should not be going to them. But again, not because it is Avodah Zorah. How are we allowed to benefit from the sun? What about the fact that many people have served the sun? Why doesn't that make it Osur Bahano? The answer is, Rav Chaim Filaji writes, you can only make something Osur Bahano al Avodah Zorah if it's something which you have a shlita on, something which you have control on. You can't change the sun. So Reb Chaim Feradji says, the fact that people serve the sun, the Ovdei HaChamo, that doesn't change it. Doesn't change its status of being Mutzav Ano. So therefore they say, the fact that some people, there are a minority of practitioners who believe that this has some sort of kayach, but that doesn't make this kayach, whatever you want to call it, that will never make it also Bahano, doesn't make it also Atzavei Dozora. However, if a person went to a practitioner, and they hear them speaking in these terms, which makes you think, hold on a second, something's going on here, then for sure you should run a mile, but not because there's any actual problem of Avodah Zarah. It's rather the Shulchan Aruch says that if you go to people like this, there's a danger you will be influenced, and you may therefore start following their beliefs of Avodah Zarah. But therefore, if you go along to a practitioner, I don't know one way or the other what he believes, but he doesn't say anything which leads me to believe that he believes that there is any sort of direct power to this, then it's irrelevant what his beliefs are. Because he can't make anything also Bahanah here. And the Shulchan Aruch says there's no problem in and of itself. It's rather only if he starts, you know, giving you over his beliefs, then you've got a problem you may be led after him. So he says, the vast majority of them do not believe there's anything more in it, anything more than the power in magnetism. They don't believe it's a kayak in and of itself. Magnetism, if you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He created magnetism. He created this kayak in the Bria. Again, if a person knows for a fact that this individual does believe there is a kayak in and of itself, then for sure you shouldn't be going to them. But other than that, Rav Shmuel says, he says, and by the way, we don't have to go all the way there to Lakewood. You'll find that in terms of this, we've got Rabbi Falk, perhaps better known Dein Kraus is a big propagator of Reiki, is another one. And in fact, he had some correspondence with one of the big Poskim in Eretz Yisrael about it, who forbade Reiki, and that Posek in Eretz Yisrael actually retracted his position based on the fact that he accepted that Dein Kraus has a much better understanding of what's going on. Okay, that's as I said. So you've got, in terms of here in England, huh?
What is Reiki?
Reiki is all, they're all the same sort of thing. We don't have time to go to one by one. It's also to do with again, after the show, I can try and explain a little bit more.
They call it faith healing, don't they?
In Eretz Yisrael, the most popular one now is they call it one brain, right? Which is just, it's another name for kinesiology. Kinesiology is more what Dr. Cope does, I think. I mean, again, I've never gone to Dr. Cope's, but that's what I understand. It's mainly, I think he does a few different things, but all these sort of dowsing, right? By dowsing, they use it to find mikvah water as well, right? To find it. Again, some people say there's nothing in it. On the other hand, if you go to as I said to you, some people believe it does, some people say there's nothing in it. But again, they say that the Rosh Hashiva of in Stamp Till, that's it, Rosh Shlesinger, he says they have a Masorah going down, they use it to find Kvara. So again, you've got the two different schools. All these sort of things are explained based on the same idea, right? So in terms of the Avodah Zarah part of it, again, the energy permission, by the way, they basically say that's not asking permission from this energy. They say that's not what it means. Energy permission is basically just asking the patient, are you with me on this? That's what it is. Which some people say, very good. That's basically just asking, do you believe in what I'm going to do? Because placebo. Again, but we said placebo, if you believe in it, it does work. Who cares how it works? I want to know, is there an Isser of Avodah Zarah, Kishuv, etc.? There are certain things, by the way, which Lechol Adeus would be, I mean, when it comes to yoga, there's two different types of yoga. There's one which is called Raja Yoga, which apparently is definitely also Avodah Zarah and all sorts of other things. But the more common, I think the more common type is something called Hatha Yoga, which there they say it's permitted but with two caveats. Number one, if they ask you to face the sun, then that obviously is problematic because that's Avodah Zarah. Because then obviously there's no other way of explaining that. And also the various chants and mantras that they use, a lot of those have Shemus of Avodah Zarah in them. So that obviously a person should... But the idea of the meditation side of it, that many post-game don't see any problem in it. As I said, again, but the facing of the sun, for sure, is problematic, and the various chants and things they use, that can also be problematic. You wouldn't know what these chants are. They just sound like some sort of gurus. They actually have Shemus of Avodah Zarah in them, so that should be avoided. The next thing, just very, very briefly, Kishuv. Is there Kishuv in it? So those who say there's no kishuv, and they say, what is the definition of kishuv? Again, for this, there's plenty more information on this in the various forum, but they say kishuv means, by definition, it's machishim pamalya shamalo. It means using shemus of malachim and all these sort of things to actually, as it were, force results in shamayim. They say there are one or two where they do use these sort of things, but the majority, like kinesiology, acupuncture, all these sort of things, there's no such thing there. The Meiri says it's got to be a shinui teva. They say it's not a shinui teva. At least the way that they're explaining it. They say it's a part of teva. When it comes to nichush, this week's Sergio le-senachashu. Le-senachashu, the definition of nichush is something which has no logic. Now some people say it does have no logic, but that's why we spent the first part of this year just explaining their argument. They say there is a logic in it. As I said, you've got some big names behind it who say there is. It's, again, they can't tell you for definite there is something in it. I don't believe that Rav Weintraub is saying that definitely is something in it. He's just saying it's not something which is illogical. It's not something which is impossible for us to believe. So nichush, they say, they believe there is a logic. So there's no problem else that.
Next,
superstitious? Oh, we'll come to that in a second. Darche Emori's sort of thing. We'll come to that in a second. Kesimo. Just going in all day. Kesimo. Right? Kesem. That only refers to something where the practitioner has to empty the mind. They have to empty their mind and, you know, rise to a state of different consciousness. In most of these, again, they don't do it. Right? We'll come to one or two examples of things where they do. Darchei Amori, which is sort of what people would call superstition. So they say Darchei Amori refers to something where there's no statistics whatsoever to support it. So they say to this, they do have statistics. Now statistics, by the way, you've got, some say the statistics are not reliable. So again, that's up to, I haven't seen the statistics. Some say some of them are reliable, some say some of them, you know, some are more reliable than others. That is obviously going to be subject to disagreement, how reliable the statistics are. But they say they do have statistics to back it up. There is something in it, and therefore Darchei Amori would not be a problem. There's something called, again, if you just want an example, there's something called Feng Shui, which is, ticks most of the boxes here. In other words, it's got Avodah Zarah, it's got emptying of the mind. That, if you ever hear Feng Shui, keep well away from that. That's something which is definitely forbidden, right? Tomim Tiyeh Lashem Erekecho, is there a problem that's that? So they say some people use these sort of things to try and find out the future. Is it a good idea? Will this Shidduch work, right? Should I enter this in terms of Paranossa? Is it a good... That, they say, a person, again, is it absolutely forbidden? Maybe yes, maybe not. But a person, that it shouldn't be used for. That they say, that even those who are for it say, possibly als tom and tiyer al-shem al-kefa, that refers to trying to divinate and find out what's going to be in the future. Stay clear of that. Something else, Feng Shui, by the way, is Darchei Amori. That's because they say they have no statistics to back up to show there's anything in it. Shamanic healing is something, right? Shamanic healing is the one which ticks most of those boxes. That is keep well away from. Just to conclude, what do Poskim actually say about this? I'll just give you one example. I've mentioned Rabbi Falk. I've mentioned Dine Krauss. What does Rabbi Yashiv say about it? Because Rabbi Yashiv, I remember going back some more than 10 years ago. I remember there was a big, as you find there, it's sort of plastered everywhere against some teacher of all these things. I don't think it's somebody Jewish, but was found to be, believed in all sorts of things of Avodah Zarah, and it was signed by Rabbi Yashiv. What does Rabbi Yashiv actually believe? So, what did he actually hold? So there's actually two very big poskim there who disagree with what Rabbi Yashiv actually said. You have Rabbi Yashiv's, as often happens, right? Rabbi Yashiv's right-hand man, Rav Morgenstern, he says Rabbi Yashiv, he was the one who actually, I believe, put out what Rabbi Yashiv actually dictated, and he said, Rabbi Yashiv said, these things are forbidden. However, there was a lot of sort of attack on that. So Rabbi Yashiv, he didn't have the time to start going and researching what exactly kinesiology is and all these sort of things. So he asked for Mordechai Gross to set up a Beis Din, research it, and see what their conclusions were. And Rav Mordechai Gross, his Beis Din came to the conclusion, I can't tell you about all of them, but definitely on kinesiology, they say that he came to the conclusion there's nothing wrong with it, and in fact he actually refers... in certain cases, he refers people to go to kinesiologists. So he says, Rabbi Yashiv, his wording, if you actually look at it, is, his wording was that if it's found that it cannot be understood, there's no logic behind it, etc., etc., then it will be forbidden. Rabbi Yashiv never said it is forbidden. He said if it ticks the boxes of all these problematic things, or some of them, then it will be forbidden. That's all. Rabbi Yashiv didn't actually go and research what kinesiology, acupuncture, what all these... He didn't have the time for all of that, right? I will just end with, sort of, just in terms of, as a general conclusion, obviously, If a person is interested in these sort of things, ask your own Rav, your own Pesach, because as you can see, there are different views on this. But if a person is going down these roads, it's always best to stick to somebody who is Jewish, Orthodox, and doesn't have any sort of strange beliefs. Somebody told me they went to somebody who is Jewish, one of these Israeli things, who obviously tries to study these stranger Kabbalah sort of things, because he was, in the course of their conversation, the patient mentioned something about him trying to, for his problem, he tried to go swimming, and he mentioned something about, you know, but there's problems with mixed swimming. So this practitioner said, oh, I don't believe in any of that, because in Kabbalah, water is referred to as chesed, and from that sort of thing, he came out with all these sort of strange beliefs, which he believes can override halacha. A person obviously has to be very careful who the practitioner is. Yeah. Yeah. If the practitioner is seen to be a problem, then obviously run a mile. Sure.